Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Sefer Chagai, Perek Bet. Now, Chagai is a very short book, so yesterday we started it, and today, Mirtz Hashem, we will finish it. In Perek Aleph, Chagai encouraged the people who had returned to Israel 19 years earlier, after really struggling after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. So Chagai encouraged them to build the second Beit HaMikdash. They had come back full of hope, full of optimism, but they were discouraged by all the significant political and economic challenges that they faced. The economy was poor. Israel was a vassal state to the Persian Empire. It was not what they pictured. Now, Chagai's message in Perek Aleph was, don't be discouraged. It's a time of geula, a time of redemption, even though it doesn't look like you thought it would. Perek Bet opens a month later, and Pasuk Aleph starts, B'shivi be'esrim ve'achad l'chodesh, haya davar adonai bi'al Chagai hanavi le'mor. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, Hashem's word came to Chagai the Navi saying, now interestingly, by the way, the 21st day of the seventh month is the 21st day of Tishrei, which is the last day of Sukkot. And Rav Benny Lau makes an interesting point that we ended yesterday with a recognition of the people that they're ready to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash. And then here, we come back in a month later, and he says probably it was the Chagim. Like, nobody really gets anything done over the Chagim, so now the people are ready to start in earnest. And we learn quickly that the people are still struggling with the fact that this Beit HaMikdash will be inferior to the first one that was built by Shlomo HaMelech. And it's not only the physical stature of the Beit HaMikdash that will be different. The Gemara tells us that spiritually, this was an entirely different endeavor. They no longer had the Aron. They didn't have the Kruvim. They wouldn't have the fire that descended to consume the Korbanot or the Urim V'Tumim. So this was really hard. The people were investing all their resources and all their energy into a project that they knew wouldn't live up to what they had before. So Hashem comes to Chagai, and this is what he tells him to share. Pasuk Bet. Amor na el Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel, Pacha Yehuda, ve'el Yoshua ben Yehotzadak, Kohen Gadol, ve'el Sherid Ha'am Limor. So his audience, Chagai is told to speak to Zerubbabel, who is the governor of Yehuda, and Yoshua, who is the Kohen Gadol, and also to the rest of the nation that's there. And here's what he says to them. Pasuk Gimel. Mi bachem hanishar asher ra'ad habayit hazeh b'chvodo harishon. Uma'atem ro'im oto ata. Halo kamohu ka'ayin be'ineichem. Who here is left who saw the first Beit HaMikdash in all of its glory? And when you see this, it must seem like nothing in your eyes. And we actually have similar psukim in the book of Ezra. There actually are people who are there who had the privilege of seeing the first Beit HaMikdash. And, or even if they weren't there to see it, they heard about it. And here they're looking at what they're about to put together, and it seems like nothing in their eyes. So Pasuk Dalet, Va'ata, Chazak Zerubbabel, Ne'um Hashem. Hashem says, Zerubbabel, be strong. V'chazak Yoshua ben Yehotzadak Kohen Gadol, Yoshua, Kohen Gadol, be strong. V'chazak kol am ha'aretz, and all the people, all of you who are here, you have to strengthen yourself. Ne'um Hashem, v'asu, and do. Ki ani itchem, Ne'um Hashem tzvakot, because I am with you. You may be doubting, is Hashem really with me in this project? It's nothing, it's not glorious, it's not like what we had before. And Hashem's message is, chazak, be strong, v'asu, and do, because I am with you. And then in a very powerful statement in Pasuk Tet, Hashem continues, Gadol yakavod habayit hazeh ha'acharon min harishon. The glory of this house, this Beit HaMikdash, the last one, will be greater than the first one. And he says, U'b'makom hazeh eten shalom. And in this place, I will give peace. Ne'um Hashem tzvakot, so says Hashem. And there's a promise here that this Mikdash will be even greater than the previous one. Now, all the Mefarshim struggle with this because what does this mean? We know reality is reality. And the second Beit HaMikdash was not greater than the first Beit HaMikdash. We've been reinforcing that. So Rashi and Radak quote a debate between Rav and Shmuel, and they say, no, there was a way. There were ways that the second Beit HaMikdash was greater than the first one. One possibility is in years, right? The second Beit HaMikdash was stood for 420 years, and the first one only stood for 410. So it was greater because it stood 10 years longer. And the second possibility that they raise is that the building in the time of Herod. So at that time, and you can see this if you go, you know, there's so many sites in Israel where you can see all the beautiful building projects of Herod, and specifically the way that the Beit HaMikdash was built, and he reconstructed it at the end of the Second Temple period. So the Second Beit HaMikdash was more glorious in the days of Herod. But there's still a lot of issues with that explanation because, first of all, does longer mean better? You know, so the second Beit HaMikdash, if it was stood for 10 extra years, does it actually mean that it was better? And yes, the Beit HaMikdash was grand in the days of Herod, but does that make up for the missing miracles? And also, Herod himself was an extremely complicated figure, especially in terms of his Jewish identity. So it's really hard to say, you know, that this Beit HaMikdash in stature and in year, that really makes it better than or stronger than the first Beit HaMikdash. So Ibn Ezra gives a different approach, and he says, no, when Chagai said this, right, Gadol yakvod habayit hazeh acharon min harishon, that the glory of this Beit HaMikdash, the later Beit HaMikdash, this would be greater than the first one. He said that he wasn't saying, we shouldn't look at what happened and then say, how can we see that the second Beit HaMikdash was actually greater than the first? He said, Chagai was saying this al tanai, like it's on condition, right? Chagai was saying, this is the potential of what could have been. So, but was the second Beit HaMikdash actually greater than the first temple? No. It didn't actually turn out to be that way, but it could have been. And this is the message of Chagai, and we'll see this in Zechariah. It depends on your actions. And Chagai's message here is that this is a time of great potential, but it is actually in your hands whether you will actualize that potential. Okay, so now we get then another dated prophecy, and the next prophecy comes on the 24th of Kislev. So it implies again that 2 months later, there was a need for encouragement again. They were gathering the materials, but clearly they were still discouraged. So Pasuk Yud, Be'esrim Va'arba Latish'i, on the 24th of Kislev, Bishnat Shtaim L'Daryavesh, we're still in the second year of Darius, Haya Davar Hashem El Chagai Navi Lemor. Hashem spoke to Chagai again. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakot, so says Hashem, Sha'al Na Takoanim, Torah, Lemor, ask the Kohanim, and the Kohanim were generally the teachers of Torah, ask them a question in Torah. Okay, so here's the question. He nisa ish basar kodesh beknaf begdo, v'niga bekanfo el halechem ve'el hanazid ve'el hayayin ve'el hashemen ve'el komachal hayikdash? Okay, so this is kind of like a Torah question. So ask the Kohanim, if somebody was carrying a piece of meat that was sanctified, it was Kodesh, and they were carrying it in the corner of their garment, and then that person touched bread or food or stew, wine, oil, or anything, would that thing then become Kodesh through the touch? And Vayanua Kohanim, Vayamru Lo, right? And the Kohanim answer correctly, and they say, no, right? Kedusha doesn't transfer from one item to another through physical contact. So then Chagai continues, this is Pasuk Yugimel, Vayomer Chagai, Im yigat tamei nefesh b'chol eile hayitma, but if somebody who was tamei, who was impure from touching a dead body or something of tuma, and that person would touch something else, would that tuma, would the impurity be transferred? And vayanu akonim vayomru yitma. And the Kohanim answer, and they say, yes, it's true, that would become impure because somebody who is like ritually impure can then transfer the tumah. Okay, it's a very bizarre conversation and very unclear. Why is Chagai asking the Kohanim all these questions about whether something that's Kodesh the kedusha could be transferred, whether sanctity could be transferred, or whether impurity, tumah, could be transferred, or what's behind this. And Ibn Ezra, again, really has a very powerful message here, that this is not meant to be a Torah quiz. There's a message here, which is that tumah, impurity, spreads much more easily than kedusha, purity. Okay, why is that an important message here? So remember the context. The people were disappointed that their physical conditions didn't turn around as soon as they started building, right? They looked at the food and the produce and they said, we started the rebuilding, we're gathering all the materials. Why hasn't our situation changed? And Haggai comes and says, you know, it's a lot easier to break things down than it is to build things up again. And I don't know if anyone's had this experience, but I remember when we were doing some construction on our house and the knocking down, that was one day. But then the building up, and I was like, wow, this project is going to go so quickly. But when things had to be rebuilt, that took a long time. And Haggai is saying, I think it's a kind of a different mashal. That was a more mundane mashal than the one that Haggai gave. But what Haggai is saying is that tumah has already spread. So in order to rebuild now, it takes a lot longer. Change takes time. And yes, you're frustrated that it didn't happen right away, but it's much easier to destroy than it is to rebuild. And in order to spread kedusha, it doesn't happen instantaneously. It's going to take a lot of time. So Haggai then brings the point home with really strong words of encouragement of what will happen once they really start the building and invest. And in Pasuk Yudchet, he says, Simu na levavchem, okay, push, like, notice this. Put your hearts there. Put this on your hearts. Min hayom hazeh v'mala, from this day and on, miyom esrim v'arba latishi. Again, so here's our next dating of the 24th of the month of Kislev. Lemin hayom asher yusad heichal Hashem, from the day that the Beit HaMikdash was the second temple, was established, simu levavchem. Okay, so start to notice how he's telling the people, okay, now it's the 24th of Kislev, you're beginning to reestablish the temple. Now start to notice what will happen, how things will change. And in Pasuk Yutet, ha'od hazera b'migura, right, is there still, right now, is there still seeds? Is there still wheat in the granary? And the answer is a rhetorical question. No, there isn't, because this year there was so little. So there's nothing left because we had to use whatever he had, whatever we had. And then he says, V'ad ha'gefen v'atena v'arimon v'aitz v'azayin lo nasa. Right? And you weren't able to really, there was no produce, right? The vine, the figs, the pomegranates, and the olive tree, they haven't produced fruits. But then he says, min hayom hazeh varech, but from this day on, from the day, meaning the day that you are building and establishing the Beit HaMikdash, that from then on, I will bless you. So yes, the blessings haven't happened yet, but the blessings will begin. And by the way, it's not incidental. I think this is actually a really beautiful point that we learn from this, that actually the day that the temple, the day that the second Beit HaMikdash was established was on Chaf Dalid, was Chaf Hei Kislev. We know that they hadn't built yet. So what that means is that Hanukkah, right, a few hundred years later, also the time of the Second Temple, when the Chashmonaim rededicated that Beit HaMikdash, they didn't choose an arbitrary date. Chaf Hei Kislev, the 25th of Kislev, was the day that the Beit HaMikdash was the second Beit HaMikdash, the day that the foundation of the building was built. So that was their Chanukah, the sanctification of the building, and the Chashmonaim used that same date. And the significance is not lost on us. Now it ends, the parak ends with one more nevuah, also given on that date. And this time it's a messianic prophecy that the heavens will thunder, the earth will thunder, the nations will be overturned, and Zerubbabel will be appointed as the leader. I'll just read the last pasuk. Bayom ha'u ne'um Hashem tzvakot, on that day, ultimately, ikachacha Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel avdi, Ne'um Hashem, v'samticha kechotam, and I will take Zerubbabel, who we know was the governor, and there he was from the Davidic line, but he didn't have that, the malchut. He didn't have the monarchy. So here, Hashem is saying, I promise you won't always be this vassal state. I will put you as a symbol. Ki b'cha b'charti ne'um Hashem tzvakot, because I've chosen him and I've chosen you, and the way that things are now is not the way they will always be. So just to review, Chagai saw that the people needed encouragement. They were disappointed about building a second-rate Beit HaMikdash. And also they're disappointed that even though they've started and they've started gathering materials, things haven't turned around right away. And Chagai's message is really a mix of hope and reality. The hope is that there is potential that's even greater than in the past. Gadol yakavod habayit hazeh ha'acharon min harishon. The potential is there that this can even be greater than what we've seen in the past. And by the way, the Malbim says that this prophecy is kind of suspended and given to us since it was never actualized in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash. And the second message is a reality. Change takes time. And we know this is true on a personal level and on a national level. Human nature is that we get frustrated when things don't work out right away. But Chagai tells us change is slow. It's a process. Meaningful change, whether it's our own personal development or whether it's the development of Am Yisrael or whether it is the Geula, the redemption, it requires investment and it requires time and patience. So Chagai tells us, Chazak v'asu, be strong and build. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel, Ben Saud.